This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll track the devastating Alberta wildfire with University of Wisconsin meteorologist.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news, the Wisconsin News Roundup.
Donald Trump made big headlines this week when he became the presumptive GOP presidential nominee after Ted Cruz and John Kasich suspended their campaigns. We'll look at how Wisconsin Republicans reacted.
In other news this week, the Wisconsin Department of Justice collected a record amount of old prescriptions during its drug take-back day, and an iconic war photo featuring a Wisconsinite, or possibly not, came under scrutiny.
Robert Menser joins us now. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
So since we last spoke, we now have a presumptive nominee for the Republican Party, and this has put some Wisconsin Republicans, not all, but some, in a kind of a sticky position there about whether or not to support him. And Paul Ryan is one of those who hasn't kind of decided either way. But here's what he has to say so far.
You have said throughout this process that you will support the Republican presidential nominee. Now you have a presumptive nominee, Donald Trump. Will you support him?
Well, to be perfectly candid with you, Jake, I'm just not ready to do that at this point. I'm not there right now. And I hope to, though, and I want to, but I think what is required is that we unify this party.
This is Paul Ryan on CNN earlier this week. And Rob, what is your take about how other state Republicans are responding to Trump as the nominee?
Yeah, so this was the week that Trump clinched the nomination, or as Senator Ted Cruz dropped out of the race, John Kasich dropped out of the race. He's it. I think it was frankly kind of stunning, surprising at least, the speed at which a number of key Republicans have said, yeah, well, we can't have Hillary Clinton. So Trump wasn't my choice, but I'm with him now. There was a burgeoning Never Trump movement that Wisconsin was supposed, you know, there was once upon a time Wisconsin was supposed to be the turning point where conservatives, led by some conservative media figures and a lot of Wisconsin elected leaders, were trying to turn things toward Cruz, and it just didn't work out. So we already knew that Governor Scott Walker said he would support Trump if he was the nominee, and so it's somewhat surprising that of all Wisconsin political figures, Paul Ryan is the one who's holding out this week.
Why do you think it's surprising?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't. He's just sort of mild mannered in his tone, and though he was had given a speech addressing some of what he saw as problems with Trumpism, he wasn't really a leader of the sort of the Never Trump, Stomp Trump movement in Wisconsin. A lot of those more people who are really more involved in the day to day political campaigns in the state now are saying that they're behind him. You can even hear, though, in the way that Ryan talked about it in that clip, it's a bit of a question how much longer he'll be able to hold out with this position. He says, I'm not going to endorse him right now, but I hope to. They're meeting next week, so I think I would expect that even Paul Ryan is going to be on the Trump train pretty soon.
So why hold out? If you think that's the case, if you think he's going to have to cave, do you have any idea what he's waiting for?
Well, so there always has been the argument, what has become called the Never Trump argument, has been that because Trump is unpredictable, because he says crazy things, opinion polls show that he is very, very unpopular with some very big demographic groups, namely Hispanics and women, that it's a risk for the Republican Party to have him as their nominee. There's also an argument among conservatives that because Trump has not historically been sort of part of the conservative movement or tied to the Republican Party institutionally, that he may not be, sort of reliably conservative in the event that he is elected. So this was the argument that was made throughout the nominating process, that he is a risky nominee to have. He could affect down ballot races, and what's he going to do if he actually becomes president? But you know what? The guy got the most votes. I mean, he still was the most popular candidate in the Republican primaries. So here we are.
So, Rob, just briefly before we move on, we've got a question mark over Paul Ryan. Who else in the Wisconsin legislature has come down on one side or the other?
So there was a lot of institutional support in Wisconsin, first for Marco Rubio and then for Ted Cruz, who did win the Wisconsin primary. This week, after a caucus meeting, there was a report. Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said, "We are on the Trump train now," and that was sort of the quote of the week. And in a lot of cases, a lot of the elected leaders who had been never Trump guys just sort of stayed quiet. They haven't issued any statements at all. What you read from that is they are allowing Fitzgerald to sort of speak for the Wisconsin Republican Party.
So in other news this week, the Wisconsin Department of Justice announced that they took in a record amount of unwanted prescriptions during its semi-annual drug take-back day. What kind of numbers are they reporting?
Yeah, so this is a bit of good news. They reported, Attorney General Brad Schimmel said 62,618 pounds of prescription drugs, which seems like a lot. It is more than 40% up from the last state take-back day in October, and that one itself had broken the state record. So it is definitely a sign that more people are participating in the events, and it's a good thing. The idea here, really what it really stems from, is an attempt to combat opiate addiction, and the argument is in a lot of cases people who end up addicted to heroin got their start from finding some old legal over-the-counter pills that are opiates. They find them in grandma's medicine cabinet or whatever, and they begin experimenting that way and end up sort of addicted to heroin.
And so news also came out recently in a related front that a UW professor believes that we're just at the tip of the iceberg for opiate issues in Wisconsin. Why would that be said?
Yeah, this is worrying, and it really has to do with the rates at which opiates are prescribed and the number of these prescriptions that are filled. Sometimes they're filled in quantities of 300 pills at a time or large numbers like that. And when that is the case, when those are sort of sloshing around the state, it's a major risk that people will themselves develop dependency, or that they sell, have a little side business selling some of those pills. And, as we've seen, opiate addiction is extremely powerful and scary, hard to kick once you're started.
We're talking with Robert Menster right now for our Wisconsin News Roundup. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. And finally, Robert, a story out this week that took 70 years in the making here. A former Wisconsin Marine may not actually be in an iconic World War II photo, the Iwo Jima photo. What is the story there?
Yes, this is maybe the most iconic image from World War II, certainly one of them. It is the image of U.S. Marines raising the American flag, sort of pushing to get the flag upright at the end of the Battle of Iwo Jima. So it's an iconic image, and for these many decades, John Bradley, a Navy man who was from Appleton and later lived in Antigo, the official story was that he was one of the guys in the photograph. There have been, for some years now, a couple of amateur historians who've raised the question about whether John Bradley actually was in that photo. And this week, the news was that the U.S. military is doing its own investigation of that claim. And Bradley's own son, James Bradley, has concluded that it's true. His father wasn't in the photo. Now, Bradley was in Iwo Jima, and he did raise a flag in Iwo Jima. But what they say is that there were two flags raised that day. And it looks like these people say that that John Bradley was involved in the first flag raising of the day, but the iconic photo is of the second.
Yeah, that's news to me. Is it to you that there were two flag raisings at the time of that photo?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? And a lot of the evidence stems from, for example, there's a letter that John Bradley sent home that talks about going to attending mass after the flag raising. This was something that he sent home only just a couple days after it happened, so that seems fairly reliable. And the idea is, if he went to mass after raising the flag, then he was probably involved in the first one. The second one happened in the afternoon. So, you know, the human memory is very suggestible. It's very unreliable, and we don't have evidence to suggest that Bradley, like, intentionally lied about this. He died in 1994. But, you know, I mean, it makes you think, right? If he wasn't in that photo, then who was? And hopefully if true, hopefully the U.S. military will be able to track down that person and get him the credit he deserves.
Well, Rob, thanks a lot. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you.
That was news editor Robert Menzer looking at the biggest stories from around the state this week in our Wisconsin News Roundup.